Well, I was surprised. Not so much that he had appendicitis, but coming home, I like it. I really do. And I told Mike earlier, I said, I've only preached the other times, have been at the chapel in Florida Presbyterian Homes. And last week, I preached at the Brighton Hill Fellowship. Any of you know about Brighton Hill in Lakeland? It's a Baptisterian church. He's a Baptist, but he's been accepted by the Presbyterian Church as a pastor. And the church is made up of people who were left over, who left when they sold the Westminster Presbyterian building. And then there was a group from First Baptist Church Lakeland that withdrew when Jimmy Carter withdrew up in Plains, Georgia, over the issue supporting abortion and other rights of people. And they left, and that's where they are. So I had a partially wet sermon. Yeah. And it worked. And then I had the call about coming to Bartow, and I like that. I like that very much. You know, 10.5 years with you changes something, I think, doesn't it? Look at the changes you've experienced, and I look out at faces, and I know what you've experienced. I do. You know, we live in a very confusing time. We really do. It's a mess. I'm not trying to do any kind of dignity toward what's happening in Washington or nationally. I'm not. Because I don't have any of the answers, and you don't either. It's just nuts. And the people we hear are nuts. I love to say that. Now that I am in my great geriatric senior years, I can say whatever I want. And Barbara tells me, don't say that. You'll hurt their feelings. I said, I don't care. They can't fire me. So anyway, it's kind of a nice experience. But I thought to myself, boy, we have a mess. But not just nationally. We also have a problem within the framework of the church. Look at you. Not much, right? Look at you. When we look at the statistics now within the framework of the denomination of which I've been a part for 60 years, we've got problems. We have major problems. Ben, I read about the churches in Europe, the huge, gigantic cathedral churches in Europe, the huge, big churches that are on corners in Europe, and they're closing them. Some have been turned into libraries, some have been turned into bars. That's probably a good thing, huh? Anyway, some, and I read where one cathedral now in France has climbing walls inside the sanctuary and a restaurant in the rear. They're trying to cope too. How do we get people to come to church? What's the big alternative? And we're asking the same question here. Why aren't people coming to church? Why aren't young people coming to church? Why aren't old people coming to church? I read the recent article in Outlook publication within the framework of the church, and they're talking about where can we go in the summer months. We've got a problem. Just before Christmas, I had a phone call from a friend of mine that I've known for years, north of Pittsburgh. And the church that he was pastor of is one of those big old Presbyterian jobs, you know, right in the center of town, big old church. And about 10 years ago, they remodeled, so it's just uptown stuff. Good plumbing, nice cool, good heat. And up there it counts. They're closing at Christmas Eve. That was their last service. They were expecting a full house at Christmas Eve. Remember how we used to talk about a full house at Christmas Eve? We get more, but it's not full. Anyway, he said, we had a packed rear pew. All 25 people came. And we closed. I said, what are you going to do with the building? He said, we have it for sale, but nobody wants it. Who wants an old, big old church? Who wants it? I guess we've always gone through crisis time. Maybe more so today than ever before, but you know, I thought to myself, you know, the major problem is basically still where the problem's always been, nationally or within churches or within Europe or with, you know what the problem is? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's you. That's the problem. I'm sure it's no different than it was when Paul was dealing with the early Christians and trying to get them to understand just exactly what they were worshiping. And Paul tried to get it through to their Paul wrote Timothy a very haunting letter. I love both 1st and 2nd Timothy. And as far as we know, there may have been more, because Timothy was that wonderful student of Paul who wanted to proclaim the gift and the majesty of Jesus Christ in a very real way. And yet, Timothy did some dumb stuff. So Paul had to correct him from time to time. And when we read 2 Timothy, particularly the second chapter of 2 Timothy, we find Paul being very, very firm on this young man and about what the church is all about. And he was telling him to study, to show himself, show who you are, approved by God, handling the word of truth. And truth in such a way that people will become excited about that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. And as you read the scripture, it goes on. And he says people are going to argue and complain. People are going to be beefing around. He didn't say beef. I don't think they had it. But people are going to be this way, and you've got to be firm in what you're doing for Jesus Christ. It brings it around the circle. I've heard it all my life. I've preached it. You've heard it all your life. You've got to go out and ask people to come into church. You've got to invite people to come for Jesus Christ. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Study to show yourself approved by God, rightly handling the word of truth, and go in the midst of people who are complaining, and let them know that there is a free gift in Jesus Christ that you can't find anywhere else. And you can share it. You can share it. You can share it in a most wonderful way. I realized something And Barbara and I were talking about it, and Mike and I joked about it. He's younger than I am, so I have to treat him nicely, you know. Why don't people want to understand Jesus Christ? I went with her to a Sunday school class at First Pres Lakeland. The dumbest conversation I ever heard in my life. But I promised Barbara that I would not talk or be interrupting or say anything, even though I had a very profound statement to make. I listened. And you know, I thought to myself, this is why the church is in trouble. It's all second string stuff. We're not dealing with depth, we're dealing with shallow stuff. Study to show yourself approved to God, rightly handling, oh God, that I could, oh God, that I must. I told Barbara, I said, you know, even at my age, I can't stop. I can't. Last week at Beacon Hill Fellowship, someone said after the sermon, well, what do you want us to do? I said, just what you're doing. He said, I haven't been doing anything. I said, well, can I expect more? He walked away, so did I. Can God expect more? Should God expect more from us? Pray with me. God, we're gracious and we're loving, and we admit our human frailties, but above all, we are thankful that you watch over, guide, and direct us, even at times when we're not sure we want to follow. Thank you for the Spirit of Christ. Thank you for the love of Christ. But thank you even more importantly that you've given us the power of Christ if we just take advantage of it, affecting and sharing in the lives of people we know. You're merciful, God. Thank you being with Anthony now in this time of frustration with health. And thank you for being with a lot of people that we know who are frustrated because of health and the issues that prevail. We pray for healing, we pray for comfort, and we pray for peace of mind. We pray for our world, we pray for our nation. Oh, dear God, give us some clarity in these confusing times. Give us some wisdom. Give us some bravery. Oh God, hear our prayers now, the silent ones that we've offered all day, the silent ones we continue to offer for people we know, for those we love. Heal and comfort each one of us in the spirit of our living Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. The sacrament by intinction, and it seemed appropriate that the night that Christ was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and he said to them, and I'm sure he said in a very wonderful way, "We're here together, boys." May have been a girl. But Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you drink the cup and you eat the bread, you show my presence." And he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body that's broken for you. For as often as you eat and drink, you show my presence." God, we pray your blessing now on this bread and cup, setting it apart from common to sacred for your glory. Amen.